So in today's gospel, we have three sayings of Jesus, all of which are very famous, but maybe a little bit hard to understand. In the gospel, we hear about this narrow gate, and he says that those who find the narrow way are few, but he associates this with the idea that we are not to throw our pearls before dogs and swine. Well, what does this all mean? I have a very lovely little dog. He's a Bichon Frise, and Yogi is not, well, maybe he's a little smelly because it is summer, but he's not unclean in the way that the dogs at the time of Jesus would have been associated. For you see, these are not pets. These dogs would have been scavengers. They probably had rabies and other types of diseases that you'd want to stay far from. And similarly, for the Jewish people, swine were contemptible to the Jews. They were unclean and not to be eaten. So partly what Jesus is saying here is to be aware that we live in a world where, well, to put it bluntly, there's a lot of profanity. People living in such a way that there is no awareness of the holy. Everything is profane. And that doesn't mean that people are swearing all the time, but what it does mean is that people are living their lives without any concept of God. Paul in Philippians uses this same language when he says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evil workers. And in the very last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 2, at verse 15, where we have the image of the New Jerusalem, there are these words. Outside the city are the dogs and the sorcerers, the fornicators, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. In other words, those who live life in a way that is profane, with no recognition of the holy. So when Jesus says that we're not to throw what is holy before the dogs and the swine, he's in part saying, don't be intimidated. Don't be unsettled by those who do not live with godliness. We have a vivid example of this in the passage from 2 Kings, where we read of this wonderful king, King Hezekiah. He became king at the age of 25. This is the southern kingdom of Judah. And he was king for 29 years, from the years 715 BC to 687 BC. And his reign was marked by one that was anything but profane. And this is the thing you need to appreciate about the kings of Judah. So many of them were men of gross profanity. Indeed, the man who will become king after Hezekiah, his son Manasseh, was one of the worst kings of all. But not Hezekiah. We're told that he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that none was like him among the kings of Judah, after him, nor those who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following, but kept the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. Now there's a particular passage in Deuteronomy chapter 17 where it says the kings of Israel are to write out the book of Deuteronomy in its entirety, and that they are to cultivate an attitude of profound humility because of the position that has been entrusted to him. And here in Kings, it says of Hezekiah, he might have been the only king who did this. In a very real way, he was a more holy king than David. He was definitely more holy than Solomon, his father Ahaz, and indeed, as I said, his son Manasseh. And it's with this in mind that we think of what Hezekiah does in today's first reading. Sennacherib represents the profane, represents the godless, represents those who are not only dismissive, but disrespectful of the holy. And he's a man of great power, and he's been very successful in what he had done previously. And yet, what does Hezekiah do? He doesn't throw his pearls before this swine dog. Rather, he turns to prayer. He brings this situation into the presence of the Holy One, listening to the voice of God in the midst of the cacophony of sounds that Sennacherib is shouting his way. And this brings us to this beautiful point of the third dimension of our Lord's teaching. We are to enter by the narrow way, knowing that many live the way of profanity. That's the wide way. We are to be careful with how we live in relation to this, how we treat the gospel. But then we're to be so careful how we treat other people. We are to live by the golden rule. We are to treat others the way we would want to be treated. And of the golden rule, the Catechism of the Catholic Church writes these words: "The law of the gospel requires us to make the decisive choice between the two ways, and to put into practice the words of the Lord." It is summed up in the golden rule: whatever you wish that men would do to you, do to them. This is the law and the prophets. This is the harder way to live, but it is the way to interior freedom. It is the way to godliness. And by living this way, we will guard the pearl of the gospel, so that with the psalmist at the end of today's psalm, we can sing, "We ponder your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. Your name, O God, like your praise, reaches to the ends of the earth."